Now, my starting point has to be all this terminology. What is there available? And you know, med tech is what a lot of people are about. It's certainly about the technologies that are in hospitals, the things that provide therapy, and indeed the things that are investigative. And then there's the drug sector, and it's good to see there is someone from Merck here today. Very relevant, of course. Most people go to the GP expecting to get a pill to solve all their problems. Then we have ICT. And we must never forget assistive technology. In fact, in the world of technology-enabled care, I suspect that it's really only those two that we're talking about. In fact, that's all I'm going to talk about. In fact, I'll go further and say I'm not an information technologist. I'm an assistive technologist. And those are the four areas of technology that we need to think about moving forward, because that's the way occupational therapists have always been trained to help people regain their independence or become as independent and self-sufficient as possible. And the four groups are, number one, the housing changes. If someone can't get upstairs, then they can't carry on living there and they are a problem. They may be stuck in a hospital bed because they can't come home. So the right technology, whether it's a grab rail or a stair lift or a walk-in bath or level access shower, is the right thing and it's very cost effective. Then there are the little bits and pieces that we can buy for ourselves. If we can't open and close taps, then we use a technology device that helps us, gives us more leverage. Then electronic AT, and one of the biggest groups in the UK actually is based around Aintree here. We have regional centres where they can take an individual approach to someone's profound needs. And then there's the bit that most of us relate to it, the connected AT side. Remote support, telecare, telehealth, telecoaching, all the other modalities. And the clever thing is, if you draw the line across the middle, the rocket science, the electronic stuff is below, the mechanical, simple, low-cost stuff is above. But if you draw this line the other way, if it's on the right, you can have it off the shelf, or should get it off the shelf. So if you're stuck in a hospital bed, you can have one of those technologies and you come home today or tomorrow morning. If it's on the left, personally designed, sort out your house, could take weeks. So big lesson there, I guess, for all the NHS thinking about how we do all these things. Sensory bits, well, the main activity that people need these days, especially older people, how do I get up? How do I transfer in the morning? And there are devices that do that for you, rather than have to have a carer who's going to come in at 9:30 and you want to get up at 7:30. Look at the difference. That's mobility devices, same area. Used to have stair lifts. Price dropped over the last decade, so now it's under £2,000 for a typical straight up, straight down. That's the Honda Assist on the right there. You clip it on, and the trials in Japan show anyone who can walk can climb stairs. So that's cheaper than a stair lift, and it works in anybody's house, outside, inside, and it doesn't spoil the appearance of your house either. So that's going to be transformational. And then there will be personal electronic assistance, which I'll mention in a moment. But that's really the sensory side. And you know, in Australia, they talk about those two together as smart assistive technology. And I suspect that that's guiding us, that that's different to all the other things we've been talking about. So how do we fix AT in the middle of this picture? Well, what we're after is integration, for sure. But the person needs to be at the centre of all this. So that really means assistive technologies plus e-healthcare. And we've heard a lot about electronic patient records, online booking, all that sort of stuff. Fantastic. It's system-wide. It's not actually person-centred because it's the same for everyone. Really important enabler, a facilitator for care. But really, although we're going to put in the middle of our telecare, telehealth, whatever we want, it's perhaps only the telemedicine bit, which is more B2B. It's what the hospital clinician has that's relevant. So what I suggest to you is that we can drop out that e-healthcare bit, because that's going to happen. We can show telemedicine on the side, because that's for hospitals and for the clinicians in the hospital, however far they want to outreach. But the rest of it is technology-enabled care in the community, or what I give you the new term, technology-enabled community care, because that's what social services have been delivering for years. In fact, we have to have a timeline. We have to look forward sometimes before we can look back. There's my long and winding road, as someone from Liverpool once said. I'll start 1980s. All those little dates, almost random. But actually, if you put little birdie markers along the way, technology, no, communication and information changes. So ISDN, some of you might remember, from the 1990s. And you see, we move through 3G, 4G, 5G, faster and faster networks, allowing better and better solutions. In fact, lots of technology changes, both within the healthcare industry and in the wider industry, and we end up moving through the internet of all things and towards trusted robotics. And in the future, where we won't talk about techs, it'll just be healthcare. Okay, how do we get there? Well, we know we have all these applications, and they should be available here in Liverpool and anywhere else in the UK. But they're not. And they're not for several reasons, because they don't mature at the same rate. In fact, it's a journey, and it's easy to talk about a journey. You put a road down. I'm afraid this journey is so slow that it's better to go by boat. And that's what we've been doing. So I call it the seven waves. Any of you do surfing? No? I was just going to say, great chance to collect some evidence on this, Alison. We'll do a research project looking for the big waves. The big one is the seventh wave. Maybe folklore, but it's certainly what people believe. So where actually are we? Well, that was the community alarm systems. Systems they were. Hardwired systems in sheltered housing. And then, well, what was wrong with them? It's a button and a box. You pull a cord if you're feeling dodgy. We can move them out into people's homes. Lots of different technologies. They work through a call centre. And, you know, there are 100,000 people in this region with one of those systems. If I phoned 100 of them now and asked them, where is your alarm pendant at this moment, what's the top answer? Well, it's either in the drawer or around the Madonna statue. That's the way it is. They don't wear them. If they don't wear them, they're not going to use them, and we're going to still find people days later on the floor, possibly dead. And, you know, in Japan, where they have these systems and they have lots of older people, I'm afraid they have squads who go around collecting some old people who haven't been seen for weeks. So that's the price of, if you like, a reactive system, which is not surprising then that we moved quickly to the second wave, automatic sensors. And these systems that we have available for fall detection, there's Mrs. Jones, she comes running in, she falls over, but don't worry, she's wearing an alarm, and it sends a message through to the monitoring centre, and it tells the monitoring centre to open up a line to her, and they ask her, are you all right? She says, no, I'm stuck on the floor, I can't get up. No worries, send in the responder. And that's how it works. And that's an efficient way of avoiding the ambulance. And the ambulance always takes people to hospital and they're stuck there and we have a problem that circulates. Third wave, we start doing things continuously. We can monitor vital signs. We can do activities. Vital signs, these are some of the products that ruined the whole system demonstrators. Wasted 37 million. Actually, it was the academics who ruined it. They set it up so badly, they just didn't appreciate. In fact, you were allowed to have a chronic disease, but you weren't then allowed to have a social care need. And, you know, some stage people realise we have complex needs, and that's where we need to intervene. Activity monitoring, yes, we have systems that can monitor which room you're in, how often you're in there, when you're in there. We can monitor even activities when people come home. When do they open the fridge? How often do they take their medication? All that was available back in 2006. The third wave, the fourth wave, we're moving to wearable devices. The mobile phone revolution comes along, and yes, we've all got one of them, and they've got lots of sensors built in, so we can do lots of things when we force people to use those. What comes next? Well, in that fifth wave, we have video, and we had talks about video in the home. They exist. The technology, pretty simple stuff. It means convert your TV, that 50-inch plasma in the corner, into your viewing platform. And everybody likes that. And we know it can overcome social isolation. We know it can link people together. And it's safe and secure. But it also does the therapy stuff. And I advocate using Xbox and Kinect because my kids have them. And it's a perfect platform. It's got the cameras there already. So we'll have lots and lots of that. And the sixth wave is the personal bit. Now, user-centered individuals, us worried well, that's our generation. Yeah, monitor with a band instead, monitor with clothing, monitor with bedding. These are all existing devices. An elastoplast that does your ECG. Yes, swallow a pill, monitor from the inside out. That's Proteus. They're doing it in Britain, in their factories in Sunderland. There's the tricorder. That's the Scanadu one. Lots of them now around. And, of course, there's the magic mirror. And the magic mirror stuff, you look at the mirror and it does the measurement. In fact, I tried it this morning just before I went for the train. And it told me how I look. And it also told me my size. Easy stuff to do. And then there's the seventh wave. What will it be? Well, the innovators here have told you it's going to be about advanced analytics, working out, predicting what's going on and hopefully intervening, and some social robots that'll be in there. Yeah, some of them will vacuum for you, some will do the lawn for you, they'll feed the cat, they'll even do your cooking, and of course they'll keep you company in some way or another. So that's on the horizon, that's that seventh wave. So there we are, seven waves. Where are we? There's no point having all these technologies if we don't use them at scale. Well, that's where we are, somewhere between first and fourth. In fact, many of the smaller, two-thirds of those providers in the UK are at that end, first and second generation only. There's a few forward-looking ones who've reached the fourth. The others haven't. Why is that? Well, think about it. It starts in housing. So the original services were aimed at people who lived in sheltered housing. In other words, you got the technology because of where you lived, not because of what you needed. And then with the technology prevention grants in 2006, it moved on to social care, who were able to do individual risk-based management using technology. Then the healthcare crowd, the NHS becomes interested because you can start managing chronic disease. And that's where we are. So imagine yourselves as the innovator. You have a product for this community care market, and it's there. It's beyond that sixth wave. What are you going to do? Are you going to wait for that green line to finally get to you? Because it'll take 4 or 5 years. And you'll be bust by then, or you're going to sell in a different way. Well, fortunately, we have another market appearing. I call it the DIY market. And that's the one that's here already. And some of you have already, you know, if any of you got a Fitbit on you, that's part of that market. And there are lots of other things. You know, the question is, should these devices that may not be connected to anything else, should they be available through our community equipment services? You know, if you, Wesley, he's got crutches there, good NHS crutches, cost 20 quid or something. You get those on loan for a period of time. In fact, that's the Suffolk data. That's what they have. The stuff at the top is generally quite expensive. Stuff at the bottom, a walking aid of that type, 20 quid. So by the time you've collected it, cleansed it, reconditioned it, prepared it for reissue, is it really worth loaning it out again? Or should we buy our own? You should have bought that, Lee. But what about some other products? My father's 95. Christmas birthday, Father's Day presents for the last 2 years there. So he can't carry a heavy kettle of water, so he got him a boiler. He gets worried when someone knocks at the door in the evening. The carol singers at Christmas, he might rush to the door and fall over. He much prefers to see who they are on a screen, and then he can ignore them. So that has been one of the most popular interventions. In fact, my worry was that when I asked him this Christmas, what would you like? He said, I'd like another of those. But he's only got one door. Oh, I want this one pointing next door because I'm interested in who calls there as well. But if you're interested in the toaster, he goes to bed at 9 o'clock, wakes up there for 4 o'clock, has his breakfast, makes his toast. Nobody knows how long it takes to brown a piece of bread. It takes 3 minutes 20. After 2 minutes, because time goes slower at night, it seems to anyway, he pops it up. It's not brown, puts it back in again, and it burns. And the smoke detector goes off, and the next door neighbours go bonkers. So I bought him the glass-sided one. He can watch it. Now that's entertainment. He can watch it, and it's glass, so he doesn't burn his fingers either when it's coming out. So the question really is, what are the options? Well, number one, you can influence the local authorities. People I can. Try and persuade them that it's going to reduce demand for existing services. Not easy to do. You're really going to show clearly how this works. Or you've got to influence people like Dave. And he wants to see how will your technology reduce admissions to hospital and use of the other services that they have to pay for. Or you can sell to the worried well. How many have Fitbits or smart watches? Yeah, worried well. Or you can sell to the people who need it but are no longer eligible. And that's the group I think that there needs to be a focus on. It forces you to think about what your selling proposition is. And people need to be supported in this, because if you're buying things from Amazon, for example, how do you know you're buying something that works? How do you know you're going to buy something that isn't going to let you down because it needs to be installed properly, because it doesn't interoperate with other things you have, that actually needs to be maintained? The batteries will run out. How do I change them? That's a set of things that's actually needed. And the final one is it needs to be tested and reviewed. And so much in the same way as Orca would say for an app, it needs to be done for every tech application. So how do you do all that? Well, you need a process. You need something which starts off with how you buy it, who contacts you, how easy is it to work. And it needs to go through various levels of functionality and user experience. And that's the sort of test that can be done. And we've developed something, a 5-point approach, which scores things. And at the end of that, you can back it up. And IQTech, a free membership organisation for local authorities, health boards, health trusts, charities, small companies especially. We do that. We look at it and we ask everyone to crowdsource opinion. If you like, it's a TripAdvisor with attitude, but also with mediation. And that's what we do, is we mediate. We don't allow those silly comments which so often wreck a decent opinion. So that's what we do. Where do you find it? It's called Vivo. It's a portal funded through the My Liverpool Dallas project, where, and that's how it looks. And it actually was developed by Lee's team at Red Ninja. And it's going to provide everything you might want to know somewhere within it. So typically, how do you find the product? Well, where do you look? It's easy. The right-hand side would say, look for all products. If you don't know what you want, you don't know how to find it. So you could start with a condition, but the big one is issue. What is my problem? And that's an issue that needs to be resolved. And that's very much in line with the New Care Act, because assessment isn't about just looking at those risks. It's about what is it that stops me doing what I want to do in life. And there will be issues that can be resolved. So for a condition, for example, let's suppose it's cognitive impairment, forgetfulness or whatever. That's linked to poor task management, sequencing going wrong, or even time management, don't know what time it is to do things. Well, time management gives you lots of product groups. So, for example, clocks and calendars for people who don't know what time or day it is. And it will help you find, and you can have a story behind them and a review of them, all independent of suppliers. More importantly, it should also point to you the service that can provide it. Because most of these products don't sit in isolation. Yes, it doesn't talk to anyone, but it's part of a holistic package that has to address all your needs. So it has got a battery which will need to be replaced. Someone will need to perhaps turn the clock forward or advise how to turn it back at the end of October. So all of that requires a local knowledge who will provide it locally. So I suggest the way forward, if you're an innovator, you can bring the product to me, to us, for an evaluation. In fact, you bring it to our meetings, and we have every 4 months in each of the regions of England and Wales a meeting where we meet. We are a bridge between small companies and commissioners, charities, advisors. If you're a service provider, you need to work out how you get to those sixth and seventh waves, because if you don't, you won't exist. There are currently, what is it, Alison, 285 maybe, service providers. I doubt if there's going to be 100 in 5 years' time. You need to make sure, if you're a service provider, that you're one of those. Oh, and if you're a product supplier, those are the ones you want to be supplying into. If you're a commissioner, two levels. One is you actually want the staff that works for the system to know what's good and what isn't so good, but you also want the public to take responsibility for their own healthcare and therefore be able to find the product and not just take product A because the social worker said so or because the community nurse said so, but to be able to find products A, B and C and make their own informed choice. And finally, everyone, join IQ Tech today. It's free, so why shouldn't you? Thank you.